blessing, a man who probably needs very little introduction to most of you, a man who committed his life to foreign missions, was in the Philippines for many years, now serves as a trustee with the International Mission Board. Would you welcome Alan Hill?
Wow, what a great introduction, Chris. Thank you so much. Hey. How are you this morning? I'm looking around. I see that you are here today. For what reason? Why did you come? To worship. Worship. Who do we worship? We worship a great and mighty God. But you come for another reason, I hope. This is your World Impact Conference. There has to be a reason you're here. You are here to worship, of course. You're here to acknowledge that God is God and that you are His children, and there's a need for you to come into His presence and acknowledge that today. But you're here for another reason today, and that is you need to be challenged. You need to understand the urgency of the task that faces the church today. And it is my desire and my hope and my prayer that in these next few moments as we share together, God's going to lay a tremendous burden upon your heart, a burden for the world, a heart for the world, for those who have never heard, for those who are in darkness, and they need the light, and the light can be found only in Jesus Christ. You know, it's always good to be back at this church. This church has always had a heart for missions. In fact, you ministered to me and to my family back in the 90s as we came home on our stateside assignment, better known today as furlough, or known back then as a furlough, but now as missionaries come on stateside assignment. You've always had a heart for missions, for being willing to give and be willing to do whatever it took to get the message of the gospel out around the world. So today is simply, again, a chance for you to kind of remind yourself and be reminded again of what a tremendous task we have before us. Turn in your Bibles with me now to Matthew chapter 9. You know, as I began to pray about this message, Chris, I to be invited back to a church where I have had the privilege of not only worshiping but also serving as interim pastor here, I felt an incredible weight of on myself, to be honest with you, about what is God wanting me to do today in the life of this church. You are a great, great people. You love the Lord. You love each other. You love missionaries. You have shown through the years your capability of ministering. And so today, I come with a deep burden on my heart to help you to understand again where we are and what the church and the urgency of the task that is before us as a church. But let me read this passage of Scripture, because I understand you're in a series called The Harvest. And here is that great passage of Scripture that helps us to understand that we need to see the world like Jesus sees the world. Here in Matthew chapter 9, beginning verse 35, this is in the middle of Jesus' ministry. It says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The Bible says that Jesus looked out and saw the multitudes, and he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them because they were lost. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were wandering around. And I want to ask you today, do you believe that we live in a world that is basically hopeless and distressed? I mean, I don't know how anyone can look at what's happening in our world today and not understand that we live in a very dark and hopeless world out there where we are. Now, you don't necessarily feel that way in here. You don't necessarily feel hopeless as you come. Of course not, because we have the hope of the world in us. We have Jesus Christ, who is our hope. But if you look at what's happening in the world today, you understand and you recognize that we live in a world that is like the world of Jesus. He looked out across that and he said he saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them. You know that in Scripture, the word compassion is only used when it talks about Jesus. The only time the word compassion is ever used, it said he had compassion on them. It doesn't say his disciples had compassion on them, because they didn't. They were still trying to figure out what is it that we're supposed to do. But Jesus looked out on that great multitude of people and he said, they are hopeless. They are scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And as we look out across our world today, we live in the same situation. We live in a world where multitudes are hopeless and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know how to get you to grasp this, because sometimes it's very difficult for us when we hear all kinds of things about the world we live in and statistics and all of those things. But I want to tell you today, we live in a world where there are 2.8 billion people who have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. 2.8 billion people. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever traveled overseas? Good, man, we got a lot. Have you ever traveled to Asia? How many of you have been to Asia? I got only a couple of hands there. Listen, I'll always remember having lived in Manila for all the years that we lived in Manila. We were there for 25 years. The crowds, the multitudes. I remember my sister came to visit us one Christmas. Now, my sister Patsy had never hardly been outside the state of Georgia. She had no idea what she was getting into. And what happens is you step off the plane in a city like Manila, and the first thing that hits you is the crowds, the people. And I mean, she said initially she was a little bit frightened, a little bit startled by this incredible mass of people that were out there. I remember we got on the light rail transit in Manila, and we went down into the heart of the city. Now, the light rail transit was an elevated railway that ran through the main street of the city of Manila. And we were on that train, and you could look out the window, and we arrived in the station in downtown Manila. And there, as you looked out across the marketplace in Manila, all you saw were people. I mean, literally, the street was packed with nothing but people. And she turned to me and said, "Are we going to go down there?" And I said, "Yeah, we're going down there." And we got off and we went down into that mass of people. Listen, masses of people. We don't understand that the majority of those people have never had the opportunity to understand the love of Christ, what Christ has done for them. Listen, I read something and I've got to share this with you. Do you know that if we had the same population density in the United States that India has, there would be 3 billion people living in the United States. Now again, get your head around that. If we had the same population density that India has today, there would be 3 billion people living in America. What's the population of the United States? About 300 million. Think about that over against 3 billion. What would life be like in the United States if there were 3 billion people living here? Everything would be different. Well, it is that way in India. It is that way in Bangladesh. It is that way in cities and countries around the world where the population is so big and it's overwhelming, where we look out across it and there is this incredible darkness. Now, let me ask you this. When I use the word darkness, what do you think? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? All right, light, right? Well, when you hear the word darkness, do you think of lostness? As believers in Jesus Christ, when we hear the word darkness, the first thing that ought to come into our mind is lostness. Because Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, as believers in Christ, when we hear the word darkness and the fact that people all over the world are living in darkness, it should burden us with the fact that they've never had the opportunity to hear this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that you and I have heard most of our lives. And many of them will die and go into eternity having never heard the gospel. Does it matter? I want to play a video clip from the president of the International Mission Board. Chris mentioned that about 2 years ago, I was invited and I was nominated to serve as a trustee at the International Mission Board. What a great privilege that is. And I'll tell you that there is one of the great joys that we have as trustees at the International Mission Board is hearing the stories of what missions is happening around the world that you often don't get to hear. We also get to stand or sit down and meet those missionaries that are being called out to go into the darkest places in the world and to hear their testimonies and to understand how God has moved in their life and led them to the place where they're willing to go anywhere God wants them to go. That's one of the great joys that we have as trustees at the International Mission Board. And I'll come back to that in just a minute, but what I want you to understand is when we talk about lostness and we talk about unreached people groups, this is a serious, serious challenge to the church today. Not just for the International Mission Board, but for you and me. Because you see, the church is the mission sending agency that God placed upon the earth. It wasn't the International Mission Board. You know, it is the church's responsibility to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. The Great Commission was given to the church. It wasn't given to the International Mission Board. The board is a facilitating body. We help for those who have been called out from the church to make it and go to those places where God is calling them to go. And many of them are going into those places where they are confronted with the fact that these people have never heard this message before. And in a recent message, our president reminded us of this. So if you will play that video clip. This is David Platt, the president of the National Mission Board.
It will be costly to proclaim this gospel, especially to those who've never heard it. I mean, these unreached people are unreached for a reason. They're hard to reach, they're difficult to reach, they're dangerous to reach. All the easy ones are taken. But will you say, I know it'll be costly, follow it up in the next breath and say, but I believe it will be worth it. The beauty is, we know how this story ends. Every single one of these people groups is going to be gathered around the throne of our King, crying out, holy, holy, holy. They're all going to be represented there, which means you can go to the most dark, difficult, dangerous to reach people group on the planet, preach this gospel, and you know somebody's coming out. Somebody's going to be there. Is there anything greater to give your life to than this? Declaring the glory of this God among the nations.
I don't know what you heard there. I don't know what you picked up. But one of the things he said, all the easy ones are taken. Did you hear that? It's those who are still in places where they may never get to hear. It's those who are living in the darkest and most difficult places in the world where where the gospel is prohibited either by government or by religion or by culture or whatever means, those are the places now where the unreached people are. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to make it possible for them to hear? How, as the children of God, not necessarily as Baptist or Southern Baptist, those are great things. I'm happy to be a Southern Baptist and part of the International Mission Board. But listen, as an individual believer in Jesus Christ, you have a responsibility to be involved in the accomplishment of the Great Commission. It's not given to the pastor and the missionary. It's given to the church. It's given to every believer and to every church. And so he says, listen, there is no greater joy than sharing this glorious gospel about a God who loves the whole world. There is no greater joy than making it possible for those things to happen and for that gospel to be heard in places where it's never been heard. There's a great passage in... There I go. Yeah. I'm not going to leave that there. There's a great passage in the book of Revelation. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. And I want you to hear these words and understand that this is kind of what is the end thing he was talking about. He said, you and I know the end of the story. And this is the end that he's referring to. This is that time when we'll see what it is. Let the Bible speak for itself. Because here in chapter 5, in the book of Revelation, they're talking about what's going to happen at the end. Where is there someone who's able to open the scroll and to present it? And I'm going to begin in verse 9. I wish we could read the whole chapter. I don't think we have time. But in verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, and they are honoring Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And then I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne of the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Can I get an amen? You know, here's the exciting thing, folks. You're going to take that envelope that it was given to you in the service today, and you're going to ask yourself, what can I do? What can I give to accomplish the goal that has been set by your own church? What can I do to help this church to reach its ministry and mission goals in the coming year? And you're going to sit down and you're going to look at that, and the first thing you're going to think about is, how much money do you have? That's not the first thing you should think about. You might want to go out and buy a lottery ticket. Oh my gosh. $1 billion? What could you do with $1 billion? I mean, you're watching the news like I am. You know that. A lot of people say the greatest hope I have is I'm going to win the lottery. It ain't going to happen. No, you don't need to think about your money. You don't think about that. Think about, what is Jesus Christ? What is your Lord and your Savior? What has He done for you? You see, the first question we need to ask when we're about to give an offering to the Lord is not how much money we have or how much we're going to give. It is, how much has God done for me? What has God done for me? And the first thing we can say is, we have known the greatest gift of all, and it is the gift of His love and His salvation. God has saved us in the worship time. You mentioned that. You mentioned the fact that we serve a great and mighty God who has loved us, has given his life for us. He has saved us. He's brought us out of sin. He's brought us into his family. We have this incredible gift of his salvation. So that's the first thing you ought to think about. And then the next thing you ought to think about is, what about those who have never heard? What about those ministries that our church supports at making it possible for your church to reach out and touch lives in the name of Christ? What's it going to take to accomplish that? And then, as God lays upon your heart your desire to be a part of that, then put down whatever amount you believe God is leading you to give, and don't worry about it. Guess what? If you have that commitment, I believe God will provide it. And God will make it happen. He's done it over and over and over again for us, because he has never left us without his help. And so that when you take that envelope and think about what you're going to do, think about it in light of the lives that are going to be touched because you gave. And you provided the resources to make it happen. Folks, listen, there is no greater gift than you can give. You see, I ask you about darkness. I said, when you hear the word darkness, you need to think lostness. You need to think about people who are without Christ, have never heard that incredible gospel, the good news about what Christ has done. Some of them who will go into eternity without ever hearing. But the second thing I want to say is, there is hope for them. But it is only because there is a message that needs to be delivered to them. What did David Platt say? It will be... You didn't remember it. It will be costly. It will cost you something. Are you willing for it to cost? Because we have to believe that the hope of the world is Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. The world is looking for other things to put their trust in. And the world, even outside, I'm talking about the whole world, they're looking for all kinds of things. Religion and money and all kinds of things to put their trust in. But we know with all of our hearts and minds that the only hope they have is found in Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. For all who believe on the name of Jesus will be, for everyone who believes, for everyone who puts their trust in him, he will be saved. But how are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to preach except they be sent? How are they going to be sent? Because you and I are willing to help make it happen. How can they be sent? Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Now, I have another video I want you to see. I want you to grasp the incredible diversity of what our missionaries are doing around the world. And this video, although it's a music video, helps you to see firsthand. A picture speaks louder than 1,000 words sometimes, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want you to see some of your missionaries at work around the world, because Jesus is the hope of the world. And let's play that video, please.
We're lost and hurting, like sheep who'd gone astray. But God, so rich in mercy, loved us and showed us grace. He gave his only Son. What a great mystery, could pay the debt for all humanity. heal us in our weakness. You hold us through our pain. You comfort and forgive us with love that will not change. You gave your only Son.
Comes great responsibility. God has blessed us. God has blessed His church beyond measure. And with that blessing comes responsibility. Jesus is the hope of the world. And as you looked at those faces on that video, I don't know how it impacted you. And I know how it impacts me every time I see it. I think, Lord, what can I do? What is my place? I live in a place of great comfort and ease, and yet around the world, people are hopeless and hurting. What do you want me to do? He may want you to go. What a great honor and privilege it is when we have an opportunity to go. You're going to hear that. At lunch, you're going to hear some from your team that went to Africa to serve. And I'll tell you, if you ever go, it'll change your life. It will change your whole view of who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. It cannot but do that. We've been blessed. So what are we going to do? What is your place in this? And I guess that's the question we end this service with. It's, what do I need to do? What is my place in this great mission that Christ has given to the church? What is my place in this incredible commission to go and make sure that the gospel reaches to the ends of the earth. And what a joy to know that by giving my gifts, it makes it possible for others to go. What a great joy it is to know that when you give, it makes it possible for that message to go into the darkest places in the world in which we live. So as we go to lunch and as we fellowship around the table, and as you take the time over the next couple of weeks to think about what can I do, what can I give to make this happen, realize what this video just said, the greatest gift you've already received, the gift of God's grace, the gift of God's love and His salvation. And now you have an opportunity to pass that gift on to others and to make it happen so that others who have never heard will have the opportunity to know the same Jesus Christ who is the hope of the world that you and I worship even in this place. May God convict your heart, whatever it is He's speaking to you today. May it be real, and may you respond in obedience and faith and trust. That is our prayer. Pray with me, please. Father, as we close this service, we understand that it's only just now beginning, because the purpose of this worship is in order that we might go out of this place with a new vision of who you are and what you have done for us, and a new zeal to accomplish that task of sharing Jesus Christ with a lost and hurting world. Father, thank you for this church who through the years has had great compassion for this community and for the world, and they've shown it through their giving and their going. And Father, I pray that it'll be true even today as this World Impact Conference comes to a close this afternoon. May it be that there will be in the hearts and the minds of these people the desire to accomplish what you have called them to do. There are people in this community that need to know Christ. But that means also that we are to be obedient to every opportunity you give us, Father, to share your love with someone around us. Now, Lord, bless us as we close. May your name be honored and glorified. You alone are worthy of our praise, our honor, and our worship. All of this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alan. You know, Crossroads Church is only about three things. We want everybody to know God intimately, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're one of those persons who just has never received the Lord Jesus Christ, we compel you, seek His truth out, and let us pray with you and receive that gift. We want people to know God intimately. We also want people to grow together interactively, and we have an opportunity to do that just downstairs in a few moments, but in small groups, so you can grow in your faith. The third thing we're about is to go everywhere intentionally. That means with the gospel, to take the grace of God with us and share it in conversation at the coffee shop or at the grocery store, in our own homes. Thinking about the Philippines, we have one of our own members on a plane right now coming back from the Philippines. She's been there for 2 weeks. She'll arrive sometime tomorrow. Katisha, who was on her Africa mission trip as well, but she took additional time off from work to go minister in the Philippines. So be praying for her as she comes back. She has such a heart for missions. May we continue to grow in a heart as a church for missions, because we want everybody. Why do we have a World Impact Conference? Because our primary purpose as a church is to impact the world by making disciples for God's glory. That's what we're about. We want people to intimately know God, to grow in faith in Him, and to share that faith. As long as we're still on this planet, our purpose is to share the gospel and to love people who need to hear it. In just a few moments, we're going to have the privilege of eating lunch together. If you're one of the VIPs, you're one of the guests with us today, I want you to stop by the table that's just outside there, get a free gift before you go downstairs. If you're unfamiliar with how to get downstairs, you can either go straight out those doors and around the building. You can find the slowest elevator on the planet and go down that. Or you can find the stairwell. Somebody will point you in the right direction. Lunch has been provided. We've had it catered in from Shane's, but it's a burger bar, not pork barbecue this time. So enjoy building your burger, which will be fun. And then we'll hear from Daphne, who's the executive director of the Atlanta Pregnancy Resource Center, And also from the team that went to Africa, we've got a video and some pictures that we'd like to share with you and a few testimonies. So let's pray together for lunch, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your grace to us. I pray that you would bless our lunch and our fellowship together. But Father, continue to work within our hearts, compelling us about our participation in missions to give and to go. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be dismissed and go ahead and enjoy yourself downstairs.